Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning and welcome to Chrisley Confessions. I am here with my lovely bride, Julie.
I know. I can't believe we're actually doing this.
I mean, we started this podcast, or really started talking about this podcast many, many months ago when we felt like that Chrisley Knows Best has been such a huge vehicle for our family, but we only get to give you 22 minutes with commercials of what's going on in our life, but we were never able to effectively communicate with you guys and answer the questions that you guys send us. I mean, we get roughly 1,000 pieces of fan mail every month, sometimes more, and there's no way for us to physically respond or have the time to respond to all of that.
Right. I do. I think the podcast gives us that ability, because I know when I meet people, they always say, oh, I have so many questions for you, or they want to ask questions about the kids or about our marriage or something as simple as a recipe that they've seen on the show. So I think this gives us that opportunity to answer those questions that people have.
And so we are very, very blessed to be able to have this podcast, Chrisley Confessions, because this podcast was set up for you. It was set up so that you have access to what's going on in our day-to-day life. You can ask whatever questions you'd like to ask. And no, you're not going to ask me a question that you're not going to get an answer from. So with that being said, I think that we should, A, start off talking about the fact that as a husband, you know, you should never make your wife feel insecure. You should always make her feel comfortable. She should never have to worry about you cheating. But Julie and I are having an issue right now.
Oh, is that so? Yes, all because of the Sleep Number bed.
Yes. I mean, when I tell you, I am not I don't sleep a lot. I mean, I sleep maybe 4 or 5 hours a night, but I started on this journey for Sleep Number about 2.5 years ago. And
it's been the answer to our prayers, really. I mean, it has, because you can now sleep, I can sleep.
Yeah, but and my number is 69, ironically.
Oh, my God.
But what is your number?
He's such a liar. It's not.
How do you know what my number is?
Well, because I help to control it.
See, there you go. You can't even have a setting on your bed that your wife is not controlling. But when I tell you, it has changed my whole pattern of sleeping. Sleep Number has literally been the greatest thing in the world for me, because I now sleep. But the problem is that when I travel, I don't sleep anymore because I'm so accustomed to Sleep Number. And I mean, all of you people if you're tuning in right now, you've heard me, or you've seen us in our bedroom scenes, you know, adjusting the bed and things like that. That's Sleep Number. And it has truly just been a true blessing to me. I mean, you know, you may have considered a Sleep Number bed and thought that you couldn't afford it. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, you can't not afford to have a good night's sleep, because it changes your whole demeanor. I mean, do you think I'm a nicer person since Sleep Number?
Well, absolutely. And also, there's never been a better time to come to a Sleep Number store, where all the beds are actually on sale during the biggest sale of the year.
I mean, they even have the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, and that lets you choose the comfort and the support that's right for you. It adjusts on each side.
And I do like that. And, you know, people ask me, because sometimes mine's up higher, Todd's lower.
And that truly saves your marriage.
That's not true. But, you know, the bed actually, aside from it being so comfortable and it gives—
It has so many positions.
Oh, my gosh, shut up. But it also, it makes up so pretty. It does. You can still, even though the head elevates, the feet elevate, it makes up to be a beautiful bed. I mean.
And folks, when you get to be Julie's age, it's hard to get the head and the feet to elevate at the same time.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, you know, but you can, I mean, the bed actually contours to your neck, your shoulders, your back, your hips. And you know, kind of helps you with proper spinal alignment.
Well, I know, because, you know, you have turned 50, so we are having a little more aches and pains these days.
The
but
only aches and pains I have is when you're not in the bed.
But with that being said, the all-new Sleep Number bed is so comfortable. The Sleep Number 360 senses your every move and automatically adjusts, so you don't even have to think about it. It does it for you.
And God knows that I don't need to be thinking about anything else, because there is no more space in my brain right now other than for Sleep Number and these heathens that I'm raising.
Well, you got to have a little bit more space, because now we need to answer some questions.
All right, folks, we're going to get into the questions that you guys flooded the voicemail line last night after it was announced on Chrisley Knows Best on USA Network that we had Chrisley Confessions. So we're going to start with the first question.
Hey, Pat and Julie, what was it like to get married and knowing that you, especially Todd, had been married before? Did Julie have any reservations, or did she know that Todd would be willing to give her an amazing life and that they would start a family of their own together? Just curious.
You know, Julie, when Julie and I got together, she knew that I was divorced. She knew that I had two children, Lindsay and Kyle. And Julie was young. You were what, 21?
I was. I had just turned 21. So I feel like, did I know what I was getting myself into? No. Who at 21 knows anything? But I did know that I had a good man, and I knew that he was an excellent father, even though he was still so young. And I think for us, we knew that we had the same core values, and we had the same wants and dreams for our family. And so I think, has it always been a bed of roses? No, it has not. And anybody, and I don't care if you've been married before or not, marriage is not easy. But when you have been married, when you have children that you're trying to make sure that they have everything that they want, need, you know, not just... It's not an easy thing, but I think we did the very best we knew to do at the time.
But I think it was easier for you because I was hot.
Okay, well, maybe.
And I looked good in jeans, right?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I think that for me, you know, when I went through my divorce, I was so, it was a marriage that should have never happened. And, you know, my...
I don't think you can say it should have never happened.
No, I think
because,
I can.
Listen,
I think that I can.
You had two beautiful children.
And if
that
you'll
came
let me finish,
it.
I'll go ahead and explain on that. Mm-hmm. It was a marriage that should not have happened. It was me being out here having premarital sex. She got married. I mean, she got pregnant, and we had Lindsay. Lindsay was the greatest gift that I had ever had in my life. It was that thing that spot in my heart that I never thought would be filled. And then Lindsay was born. And then I think roughly 15 months later, we had Kyle. And again, it was just another beautiful child. And I loved them with all of my heart. But you cannot marry people just because they get pregnant. I mean, I learned that the hard way. And I think that, you know, and that has kind of carried forward with us, because when you bring children from another marriage into a, you know, into a new marriage, and that person's never had children, there's always going to be that kind of finding your footing with that. And we still struggle with that today. But what Julie and I have always consistently known was that we loved each other, we wanted to be together, and we were going to do whatever it took to make sure that we accomplished that. And since then, we've had three beautiful children. Now, listen, I say I can make them pretty smart, we struggle with. But, you know, on that note, I think that, again, it helped Julie because I was hot when she met me. I'm still fairly kind of hot, don't you think?
Okay, and I think we should move on to the next question.
She's never going to give me that one.
Hi, my name is Sylvia. My question for Julie and Todd is, I have a 15-year-old daughter. She does competitive dance. She's a cheerleader. She runs track at school, makes great grades. She's an only child and never given me any problems. My question is, being an only child, I've really spoiled her. I'm a single mom and pay for all her expenses. So she really wants for nothing. But now that she's a sophomore in high school and only a few years from being totally on her own in college, I feel like she should be making her own breakfast before school and making her own lunch. Anyway, I just want to know how to transition that so she can learn for herself. Thank you so much.
I think that I'm probably the better one to answer this, because Julie is still making Grayson's breakfast at 12. She'll still make breakfast for Chase. I mean, you don't do breakfast for me, but is that because you know that I'm 50 and I know how to do it?
Mm-hmm. That's because you don't eat breakfast.
Oh, that might be it too. But with that being said, I think that first, let me commend you as a single mother, you know, doing everything that you're doing for your daughter. But I think that at 15, you're probably about 3 years behind in your child being able to show that they can be self-sufficient. I mean, how much effort does it take to pour cereal in a bowl? I mean, you know, I think that Chloe is 5 now and she can do that.
Yes, she can. And again, I want to reiterate what Todd said. I commend you as a single mother that your daughter sounds to be so well-rounded. And as you've said, she doesn't give you any trouble. You know what? I have learned, having children that are almost 30, and now I'm raising a 5-year-old, that, you know what, pouring cereal into a bowl is not a very big deal. And I feel like she's a good child, she said. She said she is involved in sports. She makes good grades.
And all that's great. But, I mean, those are things that are expected of her. I mean, her mother's out here working every day to provide her with all of this. So I'm sorry. I believe that as a parent, we are supposed to have – we're supposed to be able to place a level of expectation on our children just like they place on us. If I'm providing a roof over your head, if I'm putting food in your stomach, I'm making sure you're safe, you're educated, and all of your needs are met and 90% of your wants, then you owe me good grades, you owe me respect, and you owe me appreciation. Appreciation comes in many different forms, i.e., in your situation, your daughter making her own bed, cleaning her own bathroom, fixing her own breakfast, and making sure that while you're working to give her such a beautiful life, that you work carefree without worry.
I agree with you. I agree with you
100%. Finally.
And I think you have to do it now. You have to decide that you're going to make this transition to make sure that your daughter is more self-sufficient so that when she goes to college, she knows how to do these things. So I think you have to start gradually because she is an only child. So, you know, you have one child to do that with, and you can take it in baby steps, I think.
No, we're not going to do baby steps.
You still have some time. She still has some time.
Okay, she's 15. She's got 3 years.
You're doing an amazing job. Let's move on.
Didn't say she wasn't doing an amazing job. I'm just saying that she's 15. We don't need to be giving her 6 months to transition to cleaning her bedroom.
Okay, next question.
So next question, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie, this is Blanton. I was just wondering how many times a week you suggest having sex to keep a healthy relationship. Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to give you the answer that every man in this country is going to agree with me on. 7 days a week. 7 days a week will keep everything moving the way it's supposed to move. It will cause the flag to rise. You don't have to worry about those things. I mean, you have good skin. I mean, and listen, I have sex 7 days a week. It's just not with Julie. It's with myself. But with that being said, I mean, I personally would like 7 days a week, but I'll settle.
And all men would, I think. I don't know that there's anybody, a man out there that wouldn't.
But with that being said, folks, I settle for 3 and I beg for the 3rd one. Julie, what's your question?
Next question.
No.
Next question.
It's Chrisley Confessions, and you're going to answer questions that you're uncomfortable with.
Right.
What do you think is an appropriate number of days per week?
I don't think you have to put a number on it because this
is where we get confused.
No, I don't think you have to put a number on it because, listen, every marriage is different. Every relationship's different. And you know what? You've been married a long time. There's way more to the marriage than sex.
Like kids and bills and, you know, landscapers and housekeepers and car payments and tuition. You're talking about all those things, which means if you are having sex with your husband, he's more likely to continue feeling the need to provide.
Oh, honey, I agree with you 100%. 7 times in.
Yeah, 7 times.
Absolutely.
Okay. But now we're not going to sit here and lie to these people. You ain't doing me 7 times a week.
Okay. Next question. Thank you.
3, and I beg for the 3rd.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Araya, and I'm from Texas. I need advice. Basically, I am a sophomore in college right now. I'm at my 2-year college, getting my required classes out of the way before I transfer. And my main concern is about money and finances. Todd, I know that since you've been in real estate, I know that you work good with money. So I was wondering how you save your money and if you have any advice for me when it comes to saving my money to make sure I basically don't have a lot of debt to pay. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling in. Let me explain this to you. If you want to save money, don't date, don't get married, and certainly don't have children. And then you have a chance of saving money. I found that over the last 24 years with Julie is that every time I tried to save, she found my hiding spot. So when you get married, what is yours now becomes someone else's. So I would say that you have to have discipline. I mean, I think that, you know, early on, you know, Julie was more of the kind of frugal disciplinarian with money. Today, I am more than
that. Oh, that's not true, but that's okay.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm not kidding you right now.
You are.
But, Araya, I would tell you to, A, try to keep your credit card debt at a minimum. I have been going through this, actually, with my own children, and especially Savannah, you know, teaching her, don't spend more money than what you have. And if you can't pay that credit card off at the end of the month, then
don't
you shouldn't be charging. Then you don't go out to dinner. You don't go and buy things that you don't have to have.
I'm just curious as to why you give Savannah that advice, but you don't think that it adheres to you.
It does adhere to me. All right, okay. Next question. Good luck, Araya.
Why we're not getting that third night.
Hi, Todd. My name is Victoria, and I'm from Miami. And I have a very quick question. My fiance and I are in love just like Nick and Savannah. But what do you think their secret is for what their key is to their relationship that makes them work and just so perfect?
Thank you for calling in, Victoria. You know, I am proud to sit here today and tell you that Nick Cardelis has truly been a blessing to our family, but even more so to our daughter. He has taught Savannah what to expect in a man. And it's respect. I mean, he is so respectful of her opening car doors, pulling out chairs, making sure that, you know, reservations are being made or picking up things that he knows is going to help her out with her day.
Right. And if she's traveling, he worries about her. You know, it's truly what you hope that your daughter finds in a man, in a partner, because I can truly say I would never worry about Savannah if Nick were to be the person that she ends up with.
No.
I mean, he's going to always make sure that she's taken care of. He's going to always make sure that her needs are met, and that's a blessing.
And he places her before his, you know, before himself. And as a father, you know, to go back to what Judah just said, I think that every dad, when he has a daughter and he holds her that first time, in his heart, all he can think of is, God, I hope she has this certain kind of man that comes into her life and that he's all of these different things for her. And what I can tell you is that God has blessed us with this young man because he is everything that I dreamed of for Savannah. So my advice to you is if you're looking to have a relationship like, you know, Nick and Savannah, then you're not focusing on your own. I think that everyone's relationship is different, and what works for one couple may not work for the other, but the common goal or the common denominator should always be mutual respect. And I've taught my daughter to care a little bit, you know, make sure she gets with someone who cares a little bit more about her than she does them. That way she's okay.
Oh, you just took my line. I've always said that.
Really?
I wanted my daughters to marry a man that loved them just a little bit more than they loved
them. Kind of like what happened with you.
Well.
So you're saying that I love you more than you love me.
No, that's not
Again,
true.
We're back to why we don't have that third night.
That's not true. Next question.
Hello. The name is Miles. And I was wondering what your advice would be on having a roommate who, you know, completely ignores you and doesn't want to talk to you. What do you think I should do? Thank you.
Miles, Miles, Miles.
You know, that's Grayson's middle name, actually.
Yes, so that's a great name. But with that being said, I'm trying to figure out why you would want to be roommates with someone who ices you out, who doesn't want to have a conversation with you, and I mean, that would just be so uncomfortable for me. And I just don't need someone to, I don't need someone to pay half my rent for me to put up with their BS. So, I mean, I think that the advice that I would give you is find a new roommate.
Right. This is someone that you're sharing a home with.
And, you know, listen, we just went through this with Chase because Chase had roommates. And when I tell you, he has this beautiful condo in Atlanta And that he has now officially moved to Nashville full time. And so I had to go back there with him and to help with the move and all this. And it looked like a frat house. And I said, there is no way in hell that I would ever live like this. You were raised better. When you're raised better, you know better. And when you know better, you got an obligation to do better. So my advice to you, Miles, get a second job, have no roommate, and have a great love life.
Hi, my name is Stacey, and I was just wondering, are you guys the same off camera as you are on camera? And how do you guys keep the family so strong? You guys are such an inspiration to so many people. We love you.
Stacey, thank you so much, and we love you back. I think I'll let Julie take the first part of this, and then I'll wrap up the question.
I feel like that we are the same on camera and off camera. I mean, people see me all the time, and I do find that comforting when they say, oh my gosh, you're exactly the same as you are on camera.
They tell me I'm hotter.
No, they do tell me I look skinnier in person, and I do love that. So, but I do feel like that from the beginning of our show, we always kept it in its proper perspective, and we always said we had to be true to who we really were, and that first and foremost, we're a family. And that when the show is no longer on air, when we're no longer doing this, we're still going to be a family. And so I think for that, that has been an underlying current that we've had to know that we are who we are. And are we perfect? No.
I'm close.
Do we always, do I step out looking, you know, always completely done head to toe? No. I go to the grocery store just like everybody else. I go to Target, Walmart, whatever, wherever I am. I'm doing what moms do. I'm picking my kids up at you know, school. I don't get completely ready to drop Chloe off at school in the mornings. So I think for us, and then how do we keep our family strong? You know,
more than 3 days a week would help.
Shut up. You know, I think for us, it's a battle. It's a constant, constant struggle, I think, when you have a family, when you have kids, when you have kids that are all different ages. I think we're just like everybody else. We just put one foot in front of the other, and day after day, we take whatever comes at us every day. But I think at the end of the day, we know, A, Todd and I are strong. We're stronger together than we are apart, and that our children know that we're not going to turn our back on them.
I agree with all of that. I think that, you know, for me to kind of wrap it up, you know, I think that we are absolutely exactly what you see. When you meet us, it's what you see on television, whether that's good or bad. So, you know, if you're listening in, I'm assuming that you like what you see, or you wouldn't be taking your time to listen in to us this morning. But I would say that we are the same. And I mean, I actually look a little hotter in person than I do on television, which is so odd. But other than that,
yeah, people actually say that you look younger in person than you do on TV.
That's because they can see the effects of Botox better.
All right.
But with that being said, I think that how we hold it together is that we made a commitment 24 years ago when Julie and I got together that this was it. Good, bad, or indifferent. And we've been through a lot of things. You know, we've been through financial crisis. We've been through Julie's health, you know, issues with breast cancer. You know, we've both had deaths in our family. Julie lost her brother, who I love dearly. And, you know, we lost my dad in July of 2012. We have gone through everything that every family in this country goes through. And as bad as I hate to say it, because I feel a little bit disrespectful in saying this because they're no longer here, but everything that we've gone through has made us stronger. It's pulled us closer together. And I think that when you have a family, God entrusts you with a child because He knows that you have the ability to be a great parent, and you need to work at that. So the thing that Julie and I have always placed first is God first, our marriage second, and then our children. Now, our children, Chase especially, is going to be crazy when he finds out he fell number three in the lineup. But if you don't have those first two things as your core foundation, everything else is going to fall. And so we work every day to make sure, and I find that at 50 years old that I hope I'm getting better at not being you know, I think when I was younger, you know, some of Julie's needs, I was like, oh my God, she's so spoiled rotten. She's so entitled. Now I look at it at 50 and I think, wow, she's almost 50 and she's still spoiled rotten and entitled. Yeah. But, you know, I find that I'm used to it now and I just go ahead and go with the flow.
Well, and I'm so grateful for that.
And I'm saying that in case we get that number three.
All right, next question.
Hi, this is Brian Rice. And I was just calling to ask how your oldest son was doing. We haven't seen him on the show. for a few seasons, and we were just wondering if he was doing better and where he's at in life right now.
Thank you very much for calling in and asking that question. Kyle is doing absolutely the very best that he has done, I would say, in probably 10 years. You know, he's on a job that he's been on for 3 years that he's doing extremely well in. He's built a beautiful home. He has a beautiful life right now. And, you know, he is in a very, very good place. We went through, just like so many other families in this country, we went through some issues that involved substance abuse, that involved alcohol, that involved, you know, so many emotional issues that I'm sure stemmed from the fact that he came from a divorced family and had no relationship with his biological mother. So there was some abandonment issues there. But he is doing the very best that he has done in a number of years, and I've prayed for him every day of his life. He is not on the show. It's not something that he's interested in doing, and he doesn't have to be on the show. He doesn't have to be on Chrisley Knows Best in order to be a part of the family and in order to be loved. So with that being said, I thank you so much for asking the question, and I hope that you're doing well.
Hi, Amy Wolf here. Since your kids are growing up and Chloe's getting older, Jackson's getting older, and since you're such wonderful family people, do you think you'd ever adopt another child to add more to the brood that you already have? I think the more the merrier in the Chrisley house. What do you think?
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for your questions. You know, I would have to say at this point in my life, no. And with that being said, we have so many friends that have adopted, and I truly feel like that is a calling from God. Every person that I know that has adopted, I believe it is their calling to do that. I don't feel that it's our calling right now to do that. You know, we still have a lot going on. I still have a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old that require a lot of my attention.
And a 50-year-old.
And a 50-year-old that acquires way more than I've got to offer.
I don't feel like that, you know, adopting has ever been a calling for me because, I mean, listen, every time I had sex, I had a child. So, I mean, I didn't have that need. But, I mean, I certainly, as Judy said, we have so many friends that have not been able to have children of their own biologically.
Or that have just chosen to adopt.
Exactly.
And my hat truly goes out to them.
Yes. I mean, I think it's amazing that if that's what you want to do. But listen, if you tune into Chrisley Knows Best, you know that God says that he will give no more on you than what you can bear, or he can place no more on you than what you can bear. I can't bear anymore. So even if they're genetically not mine and I attach the last name Chrisley to them, then all of a sudden crazy flows freely. So, I mean, I think that we're kind of good with what we have right now. And listen, who knows? I mean, we may find out tomorrow that Chase has got 25 out here that we have to take in.
Hi, my name is Brooke, and I'm asking you, would you ever be okay if your mother-in-law or mom spanked your child? If so, why or why not? Thank you.
Thank you, Brooke. Listen, it takes a village to raise a child, and obviously something has happened for you to be asking this question, so I'm assuming that your mother-in-law spanked your child, but if you trusted her enough to care for your child and left her with your child, then absolutely she should be able to discipline your child. And when I say discipline your child, I mean discipline your child in an appropriate manner. Now, I do believe that discipline should come from the majority of the time from the parent. But if I left, which, listen, no one ever kept our children except my in-laws and my parents. And my mother would tell you right quick, like, she'd set your ass on fire if you didn't listen to her. And she meant what she said. And, you know, we kind of were all, Julie's parents were a very good medium. My mom and dad were a very good medium. But what we all consistently did was try to stay on the same page. And they knew what was expected of us. Now, listen, my father-in-law, you know, Chase, you know, listen, it's like when Moses parted the water. You know, that's how he feels about Chase. And, you know, that can go the opposite direction. There has to be, a child wants discipline. They want to know that you care enough about them to take the time to discipline them. So the answer to the question is, if I trust you enough to keep my child, then I trust that you're going to hand out the appropriate amount of discipline when they do something that they need to be disciplined for. What about you, Julie?
I agree 100%. I think you have to, the child has to know that it's coming from a place of love. And as you've said, kids want to be disciplined. They really do. They want to know that there's boundaries and that there's consequences for their actions. And if you don't do it when they're at that impressionable age, you can't start disciplining a child when they get to be a young adult.
100%. Because, I mean, look what's happening right now. I mean, Chase doesn't want to be disciplined.
Right. And he needs a timeout in a bad way.
Hi, my name is Shelley, and my question is, how the hell do you guys keep a straight face when you're filming? I would love to know if you have like a million outtakes or if you guys just bust out laughing the whole time. I don't know how you guys do it.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for that question as I'm sitting here laughing right now. You are so right. We have had moments where we have literally been bent over laughing. Now, granted, most of those moments involve my mother-in-law because she is just so hilarious. But I think that's part of our show is listen, we just want to provide a laugh, a good time. And we have a good time when our show's being filmed. So I think those authentic moments are probably some of the best on the show when we are laughing.
Well, you know, I think that when we started this show, you know, our show was picked up as a docuseries, as reality, and the world has accepted this show as a comedy. And trust me, you're laughing, but a lot of the times we're not laughing, but we're glad you can laugh at our pain. I mean, you know, there are a lot of times that, no, I'm not laughing, Shelley. I am so pissed off at that moment that I'm literally putting on that fake smile trying to get through this because I want to throat punch somebody. But with that being said, because it's being filmed, I'm not going to throat punch anyone. I'm going to wait until the cameras go down. But we do have a lot of laughter in our life, and that's a blessing.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I just wondered if Savannah's still in college and what's Chase up to these days? Thank you.
Thank you, Beth, for the question. What is Chase up to today? Well, Chase is pursuing acting. Chase is also pursuing the creation of a brand that he and I are working on that we'll disclose at a later date once that episode airs. And he's working on his real estate, which I'm still pushing for, because that's something that, you know, if you have that, you have it for life as long as you handle it the way you're supposed to handle it. As far as Savannah has taken a year off. Yes, she's still in college, but she's taken a year off because she's working on her beauty brand, which will launch in 2019. And she works every day. I mean, we film 26 episodes a year, and a season. And then they now have their own spinoff, you know, Growing Up Chrisley, and they're filming that now. So, I mean, it's a little odd that they're actually filming something that Julie and I are not with every day. But, you know, these kids are working 46 weeks this year they will be filming. So, I mean, they're very, very busy, and we're very blessed for that. But, you know,
we have not lost sight of other avenues that we want them to pursue and that they want to pursue.
Like finishing their school.
Finishing their school. That has always been a top priority for me. And we've not given up on that.
No, we have not.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Shanna with Beck. I've got a huge problem. My oldest daughter is getting ready to have a baby, and she has blocked me from Facebook and calling her everything. I am really hurt. And if you could help me out, that would be really good. I don't know what to do. Thank you.
Shen, I'm so sorry to hear this, but, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I've been through it. You know, so many people in this country go through it every day, and I think that we have to figure out why she's blocked you, what transpired from the time that she told you she was having a child, what your reaction was, how valid your reaction was to you, even though it wasn't valid to her. Because listen, these kids today, you know, there's so much entitlement in this world when it comes to kids today. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I don't believe you should be out here having kids out of wedlock. I don't believe you should be out here having premarital sex. I don't believe you should be doing all these things. But let's face it, we are 2019. It is what
we are. It's 2018.
Well, I'm trying to push you forward so you'll catch up with my age. But with that being said, you know, I think that that right now you have to figure out how to bridge the gap between your daughter, because she needs you, whether she knows it or not. She needs you more today than she's ever needed you.
Absolutely. And as Todd has said, we have faced these same issues. And
yeah, I've had, Lindsay was conceived outside of wedlock. And I mean, this, my co-host here, you know, our oldest son, you know, because she couldn't keep her hands off of me, she got pregnant too.
Oh my gosh. With that being said, I feel like, Shanna, that you have to understand, no matter what, you are the mother. She's the child. And as a mother, this is just my opinion, sometimes we have to do things we don't necessarily want to do. But I think our children need to know that they're heard. Our children need to know. And sometimes that means giving in. I don't mean giving in to what you believe in, but you have to meet your kids where they are sometimes. And I think that that's a struggle that we've faced. I mean, don't you agree?
I do think that we've had those struggles, but I don't agree with you when you say that we have to, or maybe I misunderstood you, that we have to kind of compromise our own belief system.
No, I said we don't compromise our own belief system. But there are times that, you know what, I'll let my kids rant and rave, go on. I'm still sitting in the same place. They need to know, as their parent, as their mom, you're not going anywhere. Like my kids, I want them to always know, I don't care what you do, how far you go from me, you get mad, you get your feelings hurt, whatever. I'm still your mom. I still love you. And I'm still going to be here, because whether you're 4 or 40, you still need your parents. You still need your mom. And if you're blessed to still have your mom, which I am and you are, Todd, mm-hmm. that is not something to take lightly.
I think that, you know, unfortunately, I mean, listen, I hear the pain in your voice, when in your message, and I have been there. I mean, I truly have. And I would say to you that time is very precious. And, you know, every day that we check off the box is a day we're not getting back. I think you need to turn it over to the Lord. You need to pray that God brings healing into your family to restore that. And your daughter is going to need you more than you're going to need her in these coming months. Whether she's willing to acknowledge that or not, she's going to need you. Because you know what it's like to have struggled to have had a child and raised her to the point to where she is right now. What it's like to have to worry about whether or not you're going to have enough diapers to last you through the month, or formula, or paying your mortgage or your car payment or what have you. She doesn't know that yet. So, and to show you how immature she is, the fact that she took the time to block you on Facebook, to block you on Instagram, Twitter, those kind of things, shows you this is a child still acting out. So when you know your child is acting out, you have to work harder. So good luck with that situation, and God bless you.
Hey, Todd and Chrisley. My name's Jesse. I'm from Philadelphia. I have a quick question. So coming from me, I am biracial. My mother is German and Irish, and my father is Black, so I'm mixed. I was just wondering, I know you guys aren't in any type of way, you know, prejudice or racist or anything like that. I don't even want to say those words, but was it a shock to you to know that your son was dating a Black woman and that you would be having a biracial granddaughter? Just coming from somebody who grew up in those type of families, I know my parents faced a lot of discrimination being an interracial couple, and I just wanted to know if maybe your son had faced any of those type of discriminatory things dating a Black woman and or having a biracial child.
Thanks, Jesse, for your question. You know, I don't think that it was ever an issue of whether or not our grandchild was biracial as much as it was you had gone out here and had sex with someone that you're not in a relationship with, and you had unprotected sex, and that has resulted in a child that neither of you are in a place to where you can raise this child. I think that was our biggest concern. I think that we, you know, growing up and being white and living in very affluent areas, I don't know that we had ever dealt with racism to the level that we dealt with it in season one when we introduced Chloe to the show. And we had so much negativity and so much backlash about, you know, and so many negative comments. I mean, you know, one that kind of literally stays with me to this day talked about what a beautiful family we are, And my son had to mess it up by bringing this biracial child into it. And that hurt me so bad that I went on Facebook and I outed this woman who said it to all of her coworkers, and some of them were African American. So she shut her Facebook down. I have now learned how to deal with that a little bit more effectively. I refuse to feed the ignorance. And it is 2018. We all function the same way, whether you're black, you're white. We have the same hurts, the same heartaches, the same joys, the same fears. And I think that you know, God gives you what you never know that you need. And when he brought Chloe to us, I think he opened our eyes to so many things in this country and in this world that we had never witnessed or that we never paid attention to. And now we're uber sensitive to it. So what I would say to you is that you are God's child. You are created exactly the way he wanted you to be, just like our Chloe is, just like I am. And I want you to embrace that, to love yourself, and truly pray for the ignorance of the haters. Because that's when you know that they're not affecting you, when you can pray for them. So I hope that, you know, I hope that me answering this question for you has helped some, Julie.
Absolutely. And, you know, to say, I truly believe Chloe has helped to complete our family. And, you know, Grayson loves Chloe with his heart and soul. And I can't imagine life without her. I mean, we all do. Is she spoiled? Absolutely. But color, we truly don't see that.
It's just not something that we even think about. Right. I mean, I think that when you love someone unconditionally and they feed your soul, and that's what this child has done for us, I think that the skin color is the least of it.
Right. Now, I do think there's a part of us that wants to protect her.
Because of the ignorance.
We know what issues, and as you do, you know, making this call, we don't want to see her hurt, just like we don't want any of our children hurt. But unfortunately, it's a part of the world that we live in, and our job is just to make sure that she's happy, that she's secure, that she knows she's beautiful, that she knows she's loved.
And we raise her every day to know that she is more than the color of her skin. And I hope that, Jesse, at this age in your life, that you already know that. But our granddaughter is being raised to know that she is perfect. She was made absolutely to perfection when God brought her to us.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. My name's Brittany, and I'm calling out of Houston, Texas. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I absolutely love you guys' show. And if Chase is available, can you please tell him that I am very, very interested? Thank you.
Brittany from Houston. Let me give Houston a huge shout out. It's one of our biggest, biggest cities for loyal fans of Chrissy Knows Best. Is Chase single? I am proud to announce that my son is single.
As of this day.
Yes, that could change from any Instagram post that comes in. I mean, you know, but what I would like to say, Brittany, is that I hope you're not one of these Insta-hoes who wants to go out here and send him selfies or what do they call nudes? You know, like where you have, you know, you send nude pictures on Snapchat and all this bunch of mess. Because listen, when he tells me about that, I'm always wondering, where is your father that you have such low self-esteem that you are doing this to somebody? First of all, people don't realize that when you put stuff like that out there, it's there forever, because these 22-year-olds today, 22-year-old men, they classify themselves as men,
boys.
But they're boys. The first thing they do is they take a screen grab of that, and then they show it to all their buddies like, dude, I'm so in love with her. And then guess what? The love's over by the time after you've had the second date and you've slept with him. So is Chase single? Yes. Is Chase out here mingling? Yes. Is Chase doing things we would prefer he not be doing? 110%. So what I would say to you is that if you're a good girl, then Chase is not in a place to where he can receive you in the right way. If you're an Insta-ho, hit him up.
And with that being said, I think that wraps us up for today.
So, right? Folks, listen, thanks so much for all your questions. Thanks so much for tuning in to the first episode of Chrisley Confessions. Tune in every Tuesday night on USA Network for Chrisley Knows Best. We're now going on a summer break, but you'll have more episodes. You've only seen, I think, half of season 6 right now. And so that's going to be coming back. Chrissy Knows Best is going to be coming back on USA Network in about 4 weeks, I believe. And with that being said, we're here every Wednesday morning going forward for an all-new episode of Chrissy Confessions with my lovely co-host who's going to work on upping her number of days per week from 3 to 7,
okay.
Julie Chrissy.
And send in lots of questions to keep me busy.
Do not block a man in his dreams. So until next time, come back to us on Chrissy Confessions.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.